When were you here last?
A couple of years ago, 2-3 years.
That was you here for the Casco deception, and that came out when? What year? Wasn't that far.
1983, maybe.
Yeah.
84.
So you've been, fill me in on what you've been doing. And since it's been a couple of years since we talked about the Nazi spies in the harbor in Maine, you've been busy, so tell me about what you've been doing.
While I was writing The Casco Deception, I got interested in Divine Assassin. I got interested in writing a book about retaliation against terrorism because a friend of mine in Washington was in a car that was blown up by Chilean right-wing terrorists back in 1976. And I was in the court in Washington on the day that the admitted murderer was sentenced, and he got 3 years. He got leniency after the government prosecutors asked for leniency because they'd made a deal. That drove home to me the necessity for retaliating against terrorists, not in the courtroom, but in the world.
Now, wait a minute. You said a friend of yours was in the car?
Yeah, Michael Moffat. This was the Letelier bombing. The Chileans assassinated their former defense minister under Allende, and a friend of mine and his wife were in the car. My friend's wife was killed. My friend survived. It was a horrible time, and each subsequent terrorist act that I've read about in the world has fueled my desire to write this kind of book.
Do you have some personal grudge against Gaddafi?
I have a grudge against anyone, I think, who plans terrorism. Gaddafi is on the left. The Chileans, General Pinochet, the Russians do it. We do it sometimes. Everybody does it. It's a global system. The book happens to be about an attempted assassination of Gaddafi, but I could have written the book about any number of leaders, world leaders.
Mm. It'd be interesting. Of course, Gaddafi has been in the news. I think, what was that, the book, The Fifth Horseman, wasn't it?
Yes.
That was about Gaddafi planting a bomb somewhere in Manhattan. So I guess Gaddafi is generally considered, along with the Ayatollah Khomeini, the probably one of the most rotten people in the world. But in Divine Assassin, the hero who goes after Gaddafi seeking revenge actually finds Gaddafi, doesn't he?
He does find Gaddafi, and the climax, I don't want to say how it ends, occurs when the hero has a face-off with Gaddafi in Gaddafi's office in Libya.
Be very interesting. Did you ever, by chance, make arrangements to have the book sent to Gaddafi or any of his agents?
No, I didn't send the book to Gaddafi.
Well, that'd be interesting to see. Here's Gaddafi reading about himself and being, in effect, stalked by someone seeking revenge.
Well, I've heard from a couple of consulates here in New York. I got a letter from someone in the Pakistani consulate complaining about the book. Nothing from Libya.
Pakistan?
Pakistan.
Why?
I don't know. They were pretty mad.
Why?
I think they objected to the point of view of the book. Some people would object to going after Gaddafi. They don't think Gaddafi's that bad.
What are the problems in taking a real life person, a living person at that, and putting him into a fictional context, such as you have done?
Well, some people might argue that there are moral problems. You're writing about someone who really exists in the world. You're putting words into their mouth, and you're making them do things that they don't really do. I don't consider that a problem because I like to look at my book as a logical extension of something that goes on in the world. I think that Gaddafi is a menace, and people like him are menaces, and something should be done about them. This is my way of saying what should be done about them. I don't think there are any problems with taking someone real. It's simply a logical extension of what's happening in fiction today. It's like a docudrama in advance.
Yeah, well, you could get away with that with regard to Gaddafi, but say you selected William Paley and put him into this sort of fictional context, you could be in trouble in terms of libel suits, couldn't you? I don't think you have to worry about Gaddafi filing a libel suit.
Well, maybe this is why I didn't choose William Paley.
Smart move. Thank goodness you didn't. Besides, you'd never be on this never be on this station. Well, tell me a little bit about, you were based in Washington as you wrote Divine Assassin, because a lot of what takes place in the novel takes place in Washington, but you're no longer there, is that correct?
No, now I'm in New York. But when I was in Washington writing the book, I did a lot of research there. The FBI agents who broke the Letelier bombing case, which I mentioned earlier, were very helpful. Israeli Mossad, which is a secret service, sort of passed information through psychological profiles of Gaddafi. I spoke to victims of terrorism and friends of victims of terrorism, and also counter-terrorists, people who work for the Western governments and go after terrorists, were very helpful in putting the book together. Although they weren't in Washington, that was in Europe, which was the other place where I did research.
And some nice stuff in there about cryptology, it's called, isn't it?
Cryptology, codes.
Codes,
yeah, code
same
experts.
Thing. Yeah, that was nice. I also, speaking of real-life people, I see you worked in your friend George, having a mental block, George...
Murphy.
Yeah. Any reaction from George? Get me out of there.
Oh, the Murphys?
Yeah. George Murphy was one of the pseudonyms used by the compatriot of, I can't remember, of Tim Curry.
Yeah, George Murphy's a good friend of mine and a publisher, and I like to put my friends in my books. Any one of my friends who wants to be in a book just asks and they show up. Sells books.
Uh-huh. You are pursuing a course in magazine journalism as well, aren't you?
Yeah, I've been a magazine writer for about 10 years. I write for GQ, Parade, Washington Post Sunday Magazine, Rolling Stone, Profiles, some investigations, a lot of different kind of journalism. Mm-hmm. It helps the books because the two careers kind of balance out. You learn things doing journalism, you put them in your novels.
That's right. As I recall, the book you wrote, remember the title?
Casco Deception.
The Casco Deception, that came out of some magazine research, as I recall.
Yeah, that came out of research into an incident which I thought had occurred during World War II in Maine and which didn't occur. It involved a German wolf pack plying the waters off of Maine, sinking ships, being assisted by Maine fishermen. I went up there for Esquire to check it out. It turned out not to be true, but it served as the basis for the novel, The Casco Deception.
Why did you switch bases from Washington to New York?
I like New York. I was in Washington for 7 years. I got a little tired of it. New York's more exciting. I have fun here.
I don't know. A lot of people being blown up in cars
in Washington, not in
right.
New York.
Yeah. Well, Bob, I did want to ask you about something you're working on now because you made reference to it on the phone. It was also a piece of fiction, but somewhat of a different thrust than your previous novels, I understand.
The new book is an anti-nuke book, and it's just been sold to Viking, but it'll take me another year before it'll be finished. Probably the first book that's not a thriller, and I'll be going down to Washington tomorrow to do about a month of research on that.
What is an anti-nuke book? You don't want to talk about that.
It's
all right. No, there's no problem. A lot of people don't want to talk about works in progress, and others just love to do it. But that's perfectly all right.
No, I'd love to do it, but it's kind of a very new idea, and you don't want to put it out over the airwaves a year before you finished it.
Well, nobody's going to steal the idea. It's like I've been dabbling the last couple of years with a mystery story in which Mencken is the hero.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I'll probably never see the light of day. I've been working on it about 2 years, and it takes place in 1948, and it takes place at a time when Mencken has a stroke and cannot communicate because he can't speak, and he still solves the crime.
He's a perfect hero for
I know him, and I mentioned that to somebody, and they said, "What a great idea! You know, I could go out and write that." I said, "Well, it's common knowledge." I mean, Mencken had a stroke in 1948. Everybody's heard of Mencken, and people take all sorts of care of Teddy Roosevelt and put him in detective stories, and anybody could do it. I mean, go ahead. I mean, it's fair game. So, I mean, it doesn't bother me that I have this idea. Anybody could go ahead and try to do it.
But that's more the premise than the idea. And if you were to say the whole idea, then you never know. If it's truly a great idea, as you always hope it would be, then it could be stolen.
Well, forget I said anything. don't quote me. All right, Bob, I want to thank you very much for coming in and renewing our acquaintance and telling me about the divine assassin. I guess there's no the in it. And it was really a good read. I enjoyed it. And be anxious to see the new one when it comes out.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Good to be here.